Hey, welcome back to my podcast. What am I watching right now? And you're listening to your host, Anjali Sinha. And I'm going to do something different for this podcast episode. So I've watched this Bollywood movie. So it's like one of the most beloved movies of all time since it has released. And I think I watched it after almost a decade. And it's like weird because this movie is often on cable on the weekends or sometimes during festivals. Since India has a lot of festivals, it's often on TV. It's fairly loved. But I watched it again and I have thoughts now, because when I think it released and I watched it, I was in my mid-teens, and since then I've grown as a person. My perspectives and the things that I think about or things that I couldn't see back then have changed, I think, hopefully for the better. Anyways, I'm going to talk about that in this podcast episode, so without further ado, let's get into it. So the movie that I'm going to talk about is called Ye Jawani Hai Deewani, and I'm sure if you are a Bollywood lover or if you have watched any of the movies from Bollywood, you would recognize this film. It has Ranbir Kapoor, Aditya Roy Kapoor, Kalki and Deepika Padukone in it. These are the main leads, and we have other people that I don't know the name of, so sorry. But there's another distinct London cousin that I think she was active in Bollywood films back then. Her name is Lara in the movie. I don't remember her real name. I think it was something called Evelyn or something. But yeah, the movie, since it has came out, it's been very loved. It was very successful, I should say, on the box office. I went through the Wikipedia and I saw that the budget for this movie was 40 crores, but it made 320 crores back at the time of its release, which is a lot of money. So it was like a blockbuster, as it's called in Bollywood. Like if a film crosses 100 crores in revenue, we call it a blockbuster. So it was a blockbuster movie. So moving on to the film, it's so funny, but the movie literally surprised me in many aspects. I saw again on the Wikipedia page that it came out somewhere in the beginning of 2013. I think it was like April or May 2013, probably May, because that's when the summer holidays start in India, and the movie was actually targeting like young adults, that's like 16 to 24 people who are just passing out or who are in 11th grade, 12th grade, college, or you know, like pursuing their masters. So that's like the age group. I'll go till 26, so that's the age group the movie is for. And why I'm talking about this, it's like very relevant in the things that the movie cover. After watching the movie, I thought about it for a bit, since you know the movie is so popular till this date. Again, the reason why it's so popular till this date is because of its music. It has like, I think all the songs from this movie is like so popular still to this date. They are all bangers. One of the songs is based on Holi, so we still hear the song called Balam Pichkari. So it's like it's played everywhere during Holi. Everybody plays that song. It has a few songs for I think marriage based, since one of the character gets married in the movie. So anyways, the movie is still like really popular. I still hear some songs from this movie, at my gym when I work out. So I think that's what made me nostalgic and made me go back to watch it. So I just gave in after listening to music from this movie that someone was playing at my gym after a month or so. So I gave in and watched it yesterday again, and it was like eye-opening. First of all, I really like how the movie starts. It's like flashbacks and talking about things in the present. The story starts with Kalki, you know, the character that's playing Kalki. She's the regular tomboy of the group. She's getting married, and it's a big deal for her and her friend group that consists of Nana, Avi, and Bunny, and of course Aditi. Aditi is the person played by Kalki, and she's getting married, so she's sending them I don't know, like a fruit basket or something that's filled with gifts, chocolates and God knows what. And it also houses the invitation for her marriage, so we see those baskets going to different places. One is sent by FedEx to US, but then the movie places Ranbir Kapoor in Paris. I'm very confused how whoever wrote this there are a few mix-ups in this movie, because we see FedEx delivering a fruit basket that to an apartment in US, which on the inside looks a little like an Indian home, which is symbolic on its own, but I don't know. But then in the present, when the movie comes back, movie does a time jump in the past, and then it comes back to the present, and then Ranbir Kapoor is in Paris, but again the FedEx thing shows him being in the US for some reason. Anyways, so that happens, and then our protagonist, which is named Nana Talwar, which is Deepika Padukone, she goes on a rant about how memories are nostalgic and they bring back other memories, and somehow it goes back to the time when she was studying medicine in college, and she runs into an old classmate of hers at the local mall, and she runs into Aditi, and she sees her fighting with a young teenage kid who was actually eyeing her ass. So we see that Aditi kind of reprimands him, but the young kid talks back, so Aditi tells him to get lost. And then she meets Nana, and then she talks about like how she was so studious, and you know, the average Indian crap where you were so studious, never saw you without a book, blah blah blah. She's trying to make like a small talk or whatever with her old acquaintance. They were not even friends, but somehow Aditi drops her itinerary for going to trekking, for a vacation, like more, she was going to trek in Manali, in the mountains. So she has this itinerary written on a pamphlet and she drops it. To be honest, nobody has or gets pamphlets, and I'm sure nobody was getting pamphlets back in the day, because there was internet. But I don't know, for the sake of the movie to move the plot along, there was a pamphlet where Aditi has noted down every little thing that she's going to do in Manali, and it kind of irks Nana. And also there's like a little bit of shaming involved. Her mom literally shames Aditi in front of Aditi, and she's giving her very antagonizing looks, like she's judging her, whatever. Then when Aditi leaves, her mom shames Aditi behind her back to Nana. It's actually Nana's mom, so that's why I'm calling her mom. And Nana doesn't say anything. She just says that people have different priorities in life and not everyone has to do medicines. So it's like she stands up for her friend just a teeny tiny bit. But what about all the other shaming that her mom did because she ran into Aditi, who's also not her daughter. But we are trying to show like deep Indian values from our system, so that's why those scenes are there. They are very rightly and aptly placed. I guess I have not seen a lot of Indian aunties doing this, some of them, but not a lot of them. But yeah, that's how the movie starts. And then moving on, we get to another scene where another bunch of shaming happens. So there's a dad present who says nothing. He's just eating because her wife has made the housekeeper cook food, I guess. And her mom, Nana's mom again, starts talking about Aditi and how they ran into her in front of Nana's dad. So, and Nana seems frustrated that she has never has had a vacation, and she has always been studying, and she's been a studious girl, and she has followed whatever her mom has wanted out of her. And don't mistake this, like this woman is an adult by now. She's probably, in the movie I think she's like 20, 21. We never talk about where she's studying or at which college she's attending, but it's like just mentioned that they're way past her school and Aditi is going on a vacation. So I'm just guessing that they are in college, or maybe Aditi has already passed her university, because again we see Ranbir Kapoor's character apply to another university abroad, and I'm sure he went there for his masters, like most Indians do. So anyhow, her mom is literally judging another adult, and her mom talks like really degradingly about women, and if women have a lot of fun they get pregnant, God knows what, like who talks like that. But this is like the typical Indian mother that we are talking about, that degrades, that talks badly about other women, and we are trying to portray that in a Karan Johar film to really stoke the emotions of people in the second or the third tier cities, I guess. And I'm not sure who relates with that kind of toxic behavior, but we are trying to perpetuate that every Indian auntie is like this. So anywho, that happens. Nana doesn't stand up for herself, she doesn't stand up for her friend, she's just frustrated that she wants to go for a vacation, and then she just storms off into her room. Then she goes on her computer and finally uses a computer. She finally uses a computer to Google the trekking, where it's happening, and she books a trip on Make My Trip, and it's like a very last moment done deal. And then other characters show up to, we literally show up to the third round. I'm not going to do like a bit break kind of thing, because I'm just going to talk about wherever I found the movie problematic AF. But there was a lot of things that were wrong with the movie, and yeah. So we see the three friends at the platform, and Avi is literally placing bets and he's hoping that his team wins. We also see that Aditi has some feelings for the character Avi, but it's like very I don't know, subtly shown. And we also see Ranbir Kapoor's character getting into like a bit of a misunderstanding with his stepmother and his father a little bit before he leaves for the trip. So his dad is like scared and worried for him because he's going on a trek with his friends in the mountains. I don't know why his dad was worried, but he just says that he worries for him. The stepmom doesn't mind his bitterness, but yeah. So we meet the protagonists by the first five or 7 minutes of the film. His dad, Ranbir Kapoor's character's dad, gives him a gear bag, I guess. What is it called? Like a rucksack. Yeah, he gets gifted a rucksack, and then he leaves for the train station. Other characters meet Avi's placing bets for the cricket team to win, but he sees that the Indian team is losing or whatever. Then Bunny, Ranbir Kapoor's character, realizes that Avi is gambling again, and he has lost all of his money, and that's why he doesn't want to come for the trip, and he says that he will pay. And then the scene cuts to them moving back in the train, and it cuts to Nana meets Bunny after a long time, and the first thing he does is he starts flirting like relentlessly. He says that he has met her somewhere and he doesn't remember her. So after listening to him for a minute, she reminds him that they went to the same school. They didn't meet at a cousin's party or some random party or whatever. So again, it feels off because none of the Indian guys will start flirting with you if you just show up. Indian guys tend to be a bit shy, but this is Bollywood, so don't think about it like that. Again, I can't speak for most Indian guys, but the few of them that I have met and known are nice people, so I'm not sure again. But it felt really off, like that's how the protagonist meet, and the guy is already flirting. He doesn't even remember her, and he's saying like weird stuff. It just feels off, but let's go with it because it's Bollywood and it's a Bollywood film. And Nana Nana is portrayed as this knave, belle of the mountains or something, and this untouched beauty that doesn't know how to navigate tough situations like getting on a train, going for a vacation, and she's also a goody two shoes who's studious. So that's the character, and she stays true to it till the end. But yeah, it's kind of irritating by the time you get used to this like persona. But again, this is like a typical Indian movie, so we bear with it. Somehow Nana gets on the train, and then she realizes that she has not had any fun memories of her youth, or she hasn't done anything that would other people deem as exciting, and the things that the others deem as exciting is being on the streets, getting hooking up with a stranger, like weird things like that, which is all fine and good. But yeah, she feels left out. She feels left out, and she's like, she'll sleep, and I think like Bunny catches up on that, but he doesn't bug her. And then the next scene cuts to their little resort room in Manali, and Aditi is trying to sleep, but the other two guys don't want her to because they have to go and explore Manali. That's the first time Nana tries to bond with the group and she's successful, and Bunny takes her with him to their exploring session outside. And then they get into a bit of an altercation, but they manage to get out of it in true Bollywood fashion. There are like 10 people running behind you. They are somehow outrunning them. It's like true Bollywood fashion. Things happen. And that's the first time Nana feels elated, as it's shown with her expressions on her face. And Bunny sees her in a new light. So it's like a bonding session for them, and then she starts to feel much more freer around the three people that she has literally went on a vacation with. I think I didn't include the parts where Nana is slut-shaming this co-passenger that has joined them on their little vacation to Manali. And this woman is just added to the scene as the stereotypical bombshell, to quote. And there's been like laugh tracks when they introduce her into the scene, which is also hilarious because I didn't realize that Indian movies were using laugh tracks, and they are like comments like "ooh ah" in the background. It was funny watching it all this time back, which also I also didn't like that to portray that Nana is somehow better than this girl. They have to put the other girl down, but that was the trend, and I haven't watched any Bollywood movies like romance films in a long while, so I'm not sure if that trend has changed, but that's how they were trying to do it. Like, Nana was the pick-me girl, she was better than all the other girls because she's studious. And there's literally a very famous quote from this movie where like I said, Nana and Bunny were climbing the mountain to, I don't know, find ghosts or something, or a ghost temple, and he says something like this, or it's shown in that process. He says, girls like you are made for love, but girls like her are made for fun. He insinuates something like that, and I'm sure if you watch it, since you might be a foreign audience, that will not translate, or maybe they will have something that's more palpable for the, you know, like the global audience mindset, which is hilarious. But yeah, in the Hindi translation, it's literally that, like, some girls like you are made for, you know, love, marriage, and etc., but I flirt with the other girls because they are made for fun and they do not have many brain cells. And somehow the movie also insinuates that if you're hot, if you're pretty, if you're in touch with fashion, you are a slut, aka, and you're silly and you're a bimbo. I don't know, that this is how Indian movies portray women. It's like the pick me girl again, like she's better than all the other girls. I don't know why they have to do that, but they did that, which is like the biggest thing that really put me off. And as of today, I found out that they are thinking about remaking this movie. So, and I know, like, now all the Bollywood movies go on Netflix. I feel like sad. I hope they do not do this again in the sequel. since this was a famous movie that came out almost a decade ago. Yeah, I think it was made in 2012 or something. So it's like around a decade old, but this movie was very famous because of its songs, as I've commented, and also like this toxic masculinity that was portrayed in the movie. There was this caricature of a cool guy, aka Ranbir Kapoor. I didn't even talk about his arc. Like, not only the female protagonist is problematic, but also the male protagonist is the most problematic in the whole movie. Like, he's not a good friend. His character takes a 360, and at the end he becomes this committed guy because he feels like this is the right thing to do for me, which could be, I can say maybe people can change overnight if they want to, but literally in the whole movie he's portrayed as an asshole. But I don't know why his friends forgive him, because they are in the middle of a a destination wedding. Like, destination weddings are common for richer families, like upper class families in India. They go on this like paid vacation, but you're also having a wedding. Food is catered, everything is catered and managed by the hotel that you're staying at or the destination you're staying at. So you're basically just having fun with your friends and family while someone else is running the show. Sounds really good, but also like that was the setup for the second part of the movie when Ranbir Kapoor, aka Bunny, comes back and his friends just forgive him for being an asshole to literally everyone. And it's like the hodgepodge, because at least we get a better arc of Nana falling in love with Bunny, but in the second half of the movie she literally jumps back into the relationship. Okay, it makes sense because it was shown that she was falling for him, which also happened overnight. But his feelings for Nana was, I don't know, it just did a 360. It's like 1 week ago he was sleeping with someone in Paris, and then like 1 week later he sees her, then he gets jealous because some other guy wants to hook up with her, and he's like, you should go. Oh my god, it's like a literal Bollywood film, and it makes me so laugh so much because we do not get that like genuine process of falling for each other, liking each other, and also like no one can jump in a week from hey I like you to I love you, and then there's this process of then preparing to think about or consider each other as like a, I don't know, like a marriage partner or something. That's the process that many couples go through. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm not sure. But he literally goes from being a non-committal person who literally has lived all around the world, and then he automatically decides that if I go, then this girl that I have feelings for will hook up with other men, so I'll just marry her, and I'll also just give up on my dreams, and I'm going to stay in India from now on. It was so weird because this girl literally, Nana literally points and puts things outward, like, hey, my family is here, my work is here. She's a doctor in the movie, and she has a clinic, which are all, you know, located in a particular city, and she doesn't want her husband to travel either, unless, I'm not sure if they said it or not, unless it's for like a vacation or something, but she doesn't want to live the life of a traveler. But this guy's entire identity is traveling and making travel based shows. So weird. Like, I didn't know why. Maybe because I had the brain cells of a middle schooler when I watched this movie for the first time, and now my brain has developed a little more, I felt like everything in this movie is super rushed. Even like Nana's feelings for him. But it's also like, it takes the first half of the movie, so I'm like a little okay with it. But with him, it's like hodgepodge. He, in the first half of the movie, is portrayed as a happy-go-lucky guy who flirts with everyone. He sleeps with everyone, and so is his friend. And in the second half, at least his friend doesn't get into a committed relationship, because he has like really low self-esteem, and it's like portrayed from the first minute of the movie to the last. So it makes sense that he's in his 30s and he's not in a committed relationship with either of the girls from the movie. And in the second half, Bunny, we get shown like this whole I don't know what it's called. I'll say whole play of him traveling around the world, being in US, getting the wedding invitation, then going to Paris, shooting, filming, doing work, hooking up with random strangers. Then his co-worker offers him this whole movie thingy, travel show thingy, and he's like, I'm on it. And then he comes for the wedding. We get like three unnecessary songs, but yeah, that's Bollywood, you'll get songs for literally everything in every part of the movie. So we get songs, and then there's a bit of a going on a date. No, the date comes afterwards. First, Bunny and his friend fights because Bunny has never picked up any of the calls from his literal best friends, and they have gotten so detached, and I don't know, they have drifted apart so much so that the girl who is having the wedding didn't even expect him to show up, but she still made like a video call invitation and she sent it to him. So yeah, and the other friend points it out, which I think was very good, because they are calling him out on his bad behavior, or I'll say just like, I don't know, on his toxic behavior, because he literally shows up after I don't know 7 or something years, and he expects all the friends he has had to be like really close with him, like how he has left them. You cannot do that, and you cannot have those expectations, and you cannot also force your opinion and your viewpoints and your expectations on other people. And when he tries to do that with his old friend, they get into a physical fist fight, and that happens. And after that, again, they make up because they are guys and their aggression is out of their system. So they are like, okay. I mean, I'm not saying that, literally Bollywood is showing you that through a movie, that once men have gotten the aggression out of their systems, they are not going to have like a long talk about their feelings and what went wrong in the friendship. They will literally be like, okay, now I'm good. Now you're my best buddy. So that happens. They, I think, reconcile after another song and dance, elaborate song and dance, and then we see this like Bunny stalking Nana's phone and what she's doing to find out some guys texting her. So he's like, let's go and explore the, I think, Jodhpur, I think that's the city. And it feels like a date, because at the end of the night they kiss, I think. Yeah, by the end of the day they kiss, and he realizes that he has, or they almost kiss, I think, and he realizes that he has feelings for her, which was very sudden. Nothing really pointed to the fact that he had feelings for her, but within a day or 2 days he literally has a lot of feelings for her, enough to kiss her. Because in the song, when he's introduced again, it's also another elaborate song and dance number. He acts like, oh, you're that old friend that I went on a vacation with. There was literally nothing like a moment or something. It's like, oh, you're that girl from 10 years ago. Okay, you're here. Makes sense. It's an Indian wedding. People literally invite the friends they went to kindergarten with. So that was his reaction. In like 2 days, he's like, I like you, I'm going to kiss you, I cannot live without you. And 2 days later, they have this elaborate, I don't know, breakup scene. She's like, you have to go, you cannot stay with me. And then again, that girl that was introducing the vacation happens to be the her friend's bridegroom's sister, cousin, something like that. And then she's like slut shamed again when the pick-me girl, the pick-me female protagonist, sees her again in the wedding. And since she's the bridegroom's sister, cousin, or something like that, and they were like practicing for a dance number, she says something that's like, again, slut shaming, body shaming, that that's not the only thing that bounces off her body. Literally words taken out from the movie. But yeah, that happens, and I'm like, okay, so even with the time jump, Nana hasn't grown up as a character. Like, she still hates other women, so there's that. I think after another dance number, after the slut shaming, the mehndi, and the movie ending, I think close to the ending, the wedding, they both realize that they love each other suddenly, and that they cannot live without each other. But Nana decides like she won't hold him back, so he's like, I'm leaving. So he leaves, and then he goes to see his childhood home. Then he realizes that I cannot leave her alone, she's going to cheat on me with other men, so I have to stay and I have to commit and I have to get married. So he shows up to her doorstep, and then it's like a romantic feel-good movie. Yeah, that's what the whole film was trying to sell to us. It's love. I mean, if it was shown as a love at first sight, I would have been more receptive to the idea. But it wasn't that, and it wasn't exactly that when he comes back after, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. Again, he doesn't fall in love with her. It wasn't like love at first sight. It's like the movie just rushing everything. It's like a hodgepodge of things again, but they have to show that in... Okay, it's not a short movie either. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. So, yeah, if they have cut on the song and the dance, maybe they could have shown, like, I don't know, a realistic relationship. But, yeah, you cannot expect that from Bollywood movies, even if they're rom-coms, because there are so much problematic things going on, toxic scenarios, toxic viewpoints. But that's just Bollywood movies. And yeah, I hope you do not watch it, but maybe you might like it, because I don't know, some people like these kinds of movies, and I'm not judging them. It's just that if they could have just deleted extra, you know, body shaming comments, the pick-me girl attitude, and just rushing the whole character arc, I would have liked it more. And 2 hours and 50 minutes is like enough to do that. We didn't really need to see a sequence of Ranbir Kapoor
hooking up with random strangers only to get into a very committed relationship that's going to end in marriage within a week. But yeah, that's again, that's all Bollywood for you. I hope you check the movie out. It's on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's available in your region, but it is available on Netflix. So maybe you might like checking it out. Yeah, that's it.
'Thank you for coming in and listening to me. And this is me, your podcast host, signing off. And I'll see you in the next one.